For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Into the 9 o'clock hour here on the High School Scoreboard Show. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker. Dom Chirosky working hard on the other side of the glass on this Friday night. I'm so glad you're with us and listening.
He is. Yeah, he's doing a good job tonight.
He's working it over there. We worked him hard.
Yeah.
We worked him hard.
He's having to carry me.
He's doing a great job. A couple of scores before we get to our guests. They pick up on Lee County. It's up on Colquitt County, 27-14. That's been a tight ball game. Looked like Lee County's trying to make a little distance. That is a halftime score. Chester T is up on North Hall, 14-13. That is a third quarter score as we check some of the games before we hit in and talk with our guests, with someone we really want to spend some time with, because he puts these rankings out and people always want to know, like,
they always want to know.
They want to know how.
The algorithm.
Why? You know, and we're talking about High School Football America. Always great to catch up with Jeff Fisher from High School Football America and his High School Football America 300, of which we will find a number of our schools and one in the top five. Jeff, welcome back to the Scoreboard Show.
Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight? Always enjoy listening to you. You're doing a great job, as always.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. It's great when we have the matchups we have now, when we have as many quality teams, and coverage from people like you makes our job a little easier. So thank you for what you do.
Well, we appreciate that. It's been a great start to the season, no doubt about it. I was just talking to someone the other day, and the question was, has there ever been a greater start to the season as far as great teams across the country playing each other? And the simple answer is no. This has been a fantastic 3 weeks of the season. As a matter of fact, a lot of what we do has been made easier because there are so many teams that are now playing each other, whether they're crisscrossing the country or, you know, just going to, you know, maybe a Georgia, Florida type of thing and that sort of thing. But it's been just so much fun to watch. And really, the national championship chase in the High School Football America 300s pretty much in focus, but I'm ready for you guys to hammer me here. But you do have a team that's right in the mix there. Those Milton Eagles, number four.
For those of you that are listening for the first time, we usually give Jeff a hard time because he has a bunch of Georgia teams in the maybe 300, but none toward the top. And it's the algorithm. Jeff lives in Georgia. He wants to help us, but the algorithm won't let him. But this year we've got one. But I want to ask you a more global question first, Jeff.
Sure.
So years ago, and I mean a long, long time ago, when me and Sam were young, you played the teams around you, even if one of them was really good. So even if you were around Bishop Gorman or Mater Dei or wherever, De La Salle or Milton, you just played those teams. Well, people don't do that anymore. You know, nobody wants to play them. So nobody's trying to play those teams, right?
Yeah.
That has helped you, right? Like, I mean, it's basically inadvertently forced these top teams in the top 300 are having to play each other because, you know, nobody else wants to play them.
Yeah, the best teams in the country could sort of be described as playing national schedules, whether it's on a full basis like a Mater Dei, a St. John Bosco, both of those teams from Southern California, a Bishop Gorman, to a St. Francis Academy, which was kicked out of its league in Maryland because no one wanted to play St. Mm-hmm. Francis. So yeah, you're 100% right, Coach. I mean, it's gotten crazy too. I mean, and I can get up on a soapbox, and you guys can probably be on that soapbox with me, but whatever happened to, you know, challenging yourself against the best of the best? But yes, from a national ranking standpoint, my right. life's a little bit easier.
And I think, you know, some of these teams are choosing to do this, obviously, but I guess my argument was, even in the last 5 or 10 years, I think you're seeing more people not even having that choice. They're caught. Buford is calling everybody to play, and nobody answered. So then they'll go play whoever, right? Like, that's how it's working out. And so the people like you that followed on a national scale really are getting those matchups that 20 or 30 years ago, we just had to say, what if? What if the team from California played the team from Tech, you know?
Right.
Yep. Very, very, very well said. And at this point in time, just to put it in perspective, even a team like Modern Day, the number one team in the country, they've won 4 of our national championships since 17. They're number one right now. Big win over Bishop Gorman last week on national television, basically somewhere. I don't know if it ever got on ESPN or not. But the point being, they're only playing 9 games this year, 5 in their league, the Trinity League, which is one of the best in the nation. Mm-hmm. And they could only get 4 non-league games. They couldn't get that 10th one because, well, it's two sides to the coin. A, no one wanted to play them, to your points. And then B, none of these teams are really rolling in the dough. They're still high schools, folks. I mean, everybody keeps thinking that they're these, you know, money-making machines. And, I mean, traveling from here to there and back, I mean, flying 50 kids on a plane is not cheap.
I actually appreciate you bringing that up because that is a total misconception.
Right.
These teams in Jeff's top 20 or 30 are not making money. Like, the fact they're having to cross the country and do right. all that without the revenue base that a university would have from national branding and, you know, they don't have that kind of stuff. So Modern Day, they're every time they go to Texas or every time they go to Louisiana, that's a problem, you know, and it's great for those kids, but it's not one of these things like USC joining the Big Ten and it's a lot of travel, but they'll be all right.
Kind of cash, right.
You know, it's not the same. And I'm glad you brought that up because it's not, it's actually a burden on these great teams, but it does give Jeff some great matchups.
It absolutely does. And one other point to that, too. A lot of people are under the misconception that because they're appearing on an ESPN, let's just use ESPN because that's the biggest, you know, kind of network out there that does it. They think that they're throwing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to help those travel costs. And that's just never been the case, never was. And quite honestly, not to tell stories out of school here, but there was a matchup last year that was made possible by that network stepping up big time, and then all of a sudden they pulled the plug on the money, and that matchup really almost didn't happen because of that. So, it's not the money machine you think it is. You know, maybe one day that's going to happen where a Nike or an Under Armour or an Adidas is going to throw a boatload of money at somebody, but I don't see that happening. That's more NIL stuff, but In the standpoint of these big interstate matchups, I think this year they've gotten less than the last 5 years because of the fact the money is a little bit more scarce.
Yep. We were spending time here talking with Jeff Fisher from High School of Football America. Hey, social. You can follow him at HSFB America at HSFB America. And you can look at his 300 and you can get mad and say bad things about him just like we do. Jeff, I got to say, a couple of teams, though, may not have been where they are now when the season began. Well, Milton is one, has gotten up to 4, but one that catches my attention is North Gwinnett. They go down to Moultrie, and they get that win over Colquitt. And just thoughts about what that does for the team. Seemed like it sent them scrambling up the list.
Oh, it absolutely did. And Sam, as you know, and by the way, folks, I love both of these guys. I love anybody that wants to kind of debate me because I can always lay back on the fact that said, hey, the algorithm made me do it. But to get back to the point, and when you had me on, Sam, earlier this year in the morning there on Saturday or Sunday, I forget what day it was. But anyway, the long and the short of it is we talked about how much I hate preseason rankings. And Colquitt was highly ranked. You know, I think they were 23 in our preseason ranking. And I, you know, again, if I were to put my opinion in it, I felt the Bulldogs in North Gwinnett, they were going to be a little bit better. But according to what the formula spit out, the computer, you know, they were somewhere, I think, around 180s, 190s, somewhere around there. But again, the algorithm is designed to you know, measure what happens on the field, analyze that. And as soon as North Gwinnett started playing well, they started there in the Corky Kell, right? Big win there. And then just have kept it rolling. So they're at 37 and a very impressive win last week against Mill Creek.
Yeah, my Georgia question, because, you know, I asked the global question and got us down that rabbit hole. My Georgia question would be this, Jeff.
Okay.
I do think I'm actually not going to argue with him today because I don't think the Georgia teams can beat modern day and or St. John Bosco. I don't know that I ever thought they could get to that exact level. We'll see. What I will tell you is I'm noticing in not just your poll but even some of the others, I'm seeing more Georgia teams in the top maybe 50 than we normally see. Like normally we're spread out. I think what people would say about Georgia is our depth is way better than our peak, if that makes sense. Like we don't always have the absolute best two or three teams in the country, but we will have 20 teams that can be in this top 300. Or is that that's what the jury on us was, right? That's what the book was.
Yeah.
But this year, am I seeing that right, or am I seeing it how I want to see it?
No, you're right. I mean, and I think I said to Sam during the preseason that Georgia was number three behind in any given order, you know, depending in a preseason, you know, Texas and Florida. But Georgia stepped up, and I've argued, not because I live here now, but because I have moved around the country to build our company, that Georgia, top to bottom, from 1A up through, well, now with 6A, is the strongest state. And I'll argue that against anybody because the Pennsylvania guy in me will tell you that there's no 1A or 2A school in Pennsylvania that could compete with a Clinch County or pound for pound, I think Georgia is as good as it gets. They're still number three this time of the season right now. And I can give you a little news that the NFL let out today, which you can kind of beat your chest on a little bit because this number keeps improving. During kickoff week in the NFL, states with the most NFL players, Georgia comes in four at 146, but that number keeps going up as things improve here. Texas is one with 190. Florida has 176 on the opening day rosters. California, 168. But Georgia's closing fast on California. And to put that in perspective, too, with Georgia at four, the next closest state is North Carolina with 74. So you guys are getting better and better according to our algorithm. And it's because of what you said there, Coach, which is, you know, it's solid top to bottom. It's not strange to find you guys having like a Cedar Grove, right? A 3A team in there because they're playing that rock solid schedule because no one will play them. But or, you know, like a Marist, something like that. So we've always had good representation, I felt, in our algorithm with the Georgia teams from a standpoint of just, you know, classifications as a whole.
I think they're just a little bit higher this year. Like everybody seems about 10 higher than what. But I think if you did a top 3,000, you know, no pressure, Jeff. But if you did a top 3,000, I think you would really see.
We're not going to do that to him.
But to his point, you would really see where Georgia would stand out because the 50th best team in Georgia is going to be way better than the 50th best team in most states. Texas may compete with that, but, you know.
Yeah,
that,
Texas and Florida, yeah, but you're 100% right. And I would even go that far. California is slacking off.
After that elite group.
Georgia's closing in from my standpoint, and again, it's hard to look at sometimes until the end of the season, but I would say at this point, Georgia's always going to be a solid three. They pulled away from California. Will they ever catch Texas with 1,200 teams?
No,
probably
not.
Doubt that. Yeah. Florida, as things change down there, and they're still trying to figure out what the heck they're doing with their classifications and coaches leaving all that, I could see Georgia, you know, getting after, you know, Florida and getting in that number two position at some point in time in the next 5 years or so.
Well, what you're going to see, and I think we bring this up every time, and I compliment Sam and you, and what you're going to see in Georgia versus Florida is you're going to see an increase in people like me that work at the central office. There's an increase in facilities and pay and things like that for coaches. You're going to see people like Jeff and Sam covering better in Georgia than in Florida. You're going to see better football players in Florida. I mean, like, let's just be honest. Like, the football players – that are coming out are some players. Maybe not better all the time. Don't beat me up on
that. I'm going to go I could argue that. I'm going to give it to them.
What I mean, on the skill side. That's true. Yeah, on the skill side. But, I mean, I will give it to them. They do have sometimes some unbelievable players. They're losing some of their best coach. You know, Coach Mike Coe is the head coach at Coffey.
Right.
They won a state championship last year. Coffey's first ever state championship came from Florida. Right?
Yeah.
So you're starting to see the coaching maybe push further with the coverage, the coaching, the commitments from the districts. And that's what Texas always had, right, was the commitment from the districts. You know, that's how you catch up.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about California. You know, Lincoln Riley is watching the game here tonight. He's down in Carrollton.
Yep,
he's down in California.
He's
right?
loving the Peach State. Yeah, he luckily it's not too hot for him right now. It cooled off a little bit this week.
It's cooled off greatly. Jeff, if people are going to be monitoring you here going forward, what are some things to watch for?
Yeah, well, as I said at the top, you know, we've had a great start to the season, and the national championship chase is modern days to lose at this point. Why? A, preseason number one, they won it last year, and they've come out of the gates really strong. They beat a very good Corona Centennial team and then kind of won what everybody considered the regular season national championship against Bishop Gorman out of Nevada. So that happened last week. All of the rest of their games are against teams highly ranked in the top 300. So what it's probably going to come down to, in my estimation, is modern days got its destiny, right? They can control it. They run the table. They win it. Their big hurdles come up on the 25th of October when they say play St. John Bosco. So Bosco and Mater Dei have won 6 of the last 7 national championships. The only reason it's probably not 7 out of 7 is they didn't play football in the fall during COVID. So with that being said, that'll be the first big hurdle. And then the second one will be probably when they meet again in the playoffs. And we've seen that here in Georgia, right? Yeah, that first one is not the precursor to what's going to happen in the second one. So if modern day can do that, and what's happened in most cases over the last 4 or 5 years is one's won the first game and then that one loses the second game, but they've also ended up on top. So that would be it. As far as Georgia to get in there, what they're going to need to get Milton into the championship hunt would simply be this. They need for Bishop Gorman to lose tonight to Orange Lutheran, which is number 10 in the country from California. If Gorman takes a second loss tonight, and that's possible, they've got a home field advantage, but Olu is an underranked team that plays in the Trinity League. And then if Bishop Gorman loses tonight, Milton runs the table, right? Or any team that's going to win 6A, but let's just put Milton since they're in that position now. If Milton can run the table, win a state championship, and then the Boscos and the Modern Days beat up on each other and have the rest of that Trinity League. You got to remember, the Trinity League right now has all 6 teams within the top 51.
Wow.
So if there's some beating up there, then the Eagles have a real shot at a national championship. And I'm not saying that because I'm on in Atlanta, Georgia.
or because you're on the Scoreboard Show with us.
And they got to win all their games first. Milton
they do.
Does. I mean, that's,
and quite honestly, you know, I got to keep on your good side, guys. You know, for a while there, I had to go to my psychiatrist after being on. You know what, Sam? You've always been good to me. We've broken bread. We've had good time. But Chris, he was a tough cookie to crack. But now, we met each other a couple of years ago up there in Pickens. So
I just
anyway.
Had to defend my guys. I mean, not personal.
You should.
You
should. Never took it that way, Coach.
Yeah, we appreciate you as always. Keep spending some time. Great to have you on the Scoreboard Show. We may circle back and come back with you a little later on this season, but always good catching up.
Thanks a lot for your time, guys. Love what you do. Keep it up as well.
All right, Jeff Fisher with High School Football America. And that top 300, I mean, you know, that's a great list. And we got some Georgia schools that are really making their way up and making some moves. And it could be some changes tonight. You got some ranked teams in this poll playing against each other in Carrollton and Gainesville and also in Beaufort, you know, taking on Douglas County.
We're going to hit all them when we come back.
Yeah, we're going to update the scores from those games. Got our reporters at the games who are going to give you updates as well. You stay with us on this Friday night. It's the Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now,
back to more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sam and Chris from our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. Glad you're with us. Boy, we enjoyed Jeff Fisher spending some time with him. I'm talking about High School Football America 300 poll. Got
Jeff Fisher, Jeff Saturday. Yep,
you know.
We got Jeff Bezos coming on.
No.
Oh, okay. We got any more Jeff?
You got him on the line?
Maybe next time.
Okay. All right. Let's check a score too. We got our reporters are standing by with some updates for us. Let's check some scores quickly. Seckinger and playing Winder Barrel. And this game is special because I think they've had to put this game on the schedule. Because of Barrow County schools
right.
are going in Appalachia. I thought still with the young people like that. We don't know when they're going to or if they're going to.
They have suspended athletics indefinitely right now. So for the people that didn't know that. So, yeah, that changed that game. How's that game going?
Winder Barrow did go back to school this week, and they're playing second year. And Coach Lottie was at Appalachia
right.
before going to second year. Second year's up 20-15. That is a third quarter score. Second year, 3-0.
Yeah, trying to get to some kind of normalcy over there, and that's tough. Another team that's trying to get there is Rome. You know, Rome had a tragic bus accident, you know, early in the season, then had to cancel a game. They came back and lost a game in Toombs County that I know they thought they should have won. Tonight, trying to get in the get-right game, 27-0 leading at the end of the third quarter of East Paulding. That's a good East Paulding team.
They're 3-0 coming
in. Yeah, Rome may have figured it out that they're ready to go.
Yeah, they're doing that. We talked about Milton. They're up 21-7. That's a third quarter score playing out at Blessed Trinity. They're up 21-7. In that game, Olas and folks, I spent some time talking with this week. They are 4-0, and they are 27-7 leaders in the third quarter over Eagles Landing. Look like they're going to go to the fall break with a 5-0 record.
5-0 at Ola. Yo, Roswell winning 28-14 at the end of the third over Westlake. Big bounce back for Roswell, who got beat up by Buford last week.
Absolutely. That's something we also check in down in Fayette County. Stars Mills up on Luella. That's a 17-7 score in the third quarter. Third quarter score, North Clayton is leading Monday's Mill 21-6 in that game. More scores from South Metro area. Jones County looks like they're bouncing back. They're up 14-7 second quarter score there against Union Grove. Hampton leads Locust Grove 20-10. That is a third quarter score. And Woodland Stockbridge is up 13-6 over Eagles Landing Christian, also a third quarter score.
Yeah, Marietta's over Etowah 27-0 in the third. Hebron Christian 35, the Christ School in North Carolina. That's one of those interstate games, is 3. So Hebron Christian winning 35-3 at halftime. Been some good games. How about our guys?
All right, let's check in with our guys. Let's check in with Day-Day.
Yeah, well.
Day-Day Lewis.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker, Damian Day-Day Lewis live here at Cambridge High School. Guys, we've reached the half, and it's Cambridge on top of Calhoun 17-6 in this one at the break on their homecoming night celebration. And it's been some great play by the defense of Cambridge in this one as Calhoun really struggled to get anything going on the ground. But I will say this, their final possession of the first half, in which resulted in a field goal to give them the 6 points, they were able to string together their best drive of the night, getting it done majority of the through the air. So it looks like they may have found something where they can attack that Cambridge secondary. Obviously, we'll see if Coach Jones and crew make those adjustments. But again, Cambridge's been a phenomenal job holding Calhoun pretty much lifeless in the ground game. So we'll keep you up to date when the second half gets underway from Cambridge High School for the High School Scoreboard Show with Sam Crenshaw and Coach Chris Parker. I'm Damian Day-Day Lewis, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back to you guys.
All right, thanks so much, Day-Day, for the update. That game there going on in Cambridge. They're moving on and kind of holding things down against Calhoun. It always comes ready to play.
Yeah, it's not over. That's a game we're going to keep an eye on the second half. Day-Day will be there to keep us updated.
All right, let's check in with Eric now. He's keeping an eye on things with Bowden and Heard County.
Checking in from Bowden High School, this is Eric Slaughter for Sports Radio 929 The Game's Friday Night High School Scoreboard Show. We have reached halftime and the rain has started to fall, but the Red Devils take a lead 20-7 into the locker room, courtesy of two touchdown passes from quarterback Charles Maxwell III to 6'6 wide receiver Caden Protho. The first came on a 6-yard back of the end zone score, and the second was just before the half as Protho took a swing pass and raced 73 yards down the left sideline for the current score. We'll be raining here as we start the third quarter, but hopefully the rain will go away and we will see what will happen as the Braves and the Red Devils set for third quarter action. But once again, at the half, it's all Red Devils 20-7 over the Heard County Braves. Back to the studio for Sam and Chris. This is Eric Slaughter.
All right, thanks a bunch, Eric. Two great programs going at a 6'6 wide receiver. How do you defend that dude?
You got to be like, where's the 6'6 defensive backs? Oh, we don't have any. So let's either put two guys on him, and that's going to give up something else.
Yeah.
Or we're just going to hope they don't throw it to him.
You can't ignore him.
And hope is not a plan, Sam.
Not when you got a 6'6 receiver.
Yeah, hope is not a plan. So,
oh, my goodness.
If they're talented. I mean, the height matters if they get in control of their body and all that. But, yeah if you get – the receivers that are getting so much taller, they're just a challenge down the field, you know. So you got to double them sometimes, at least in key downs. But anytime you double somebody, something else is open. And so you got to try to disguise that and pick your moments. And that's where the coaching comes in. And then you're talking about a single-A school. So how many – they got everybody playing both ways. So how much do they have in? You know, how many different types of defenses do they have in to throw at the 6'6 receiver? You know, that's where it's different in Gwinnett County. It's more like college football. They do have all the different matchups, you know, and okay. So you go down to the smaller groups. You don't necessarily have worse coaches. You sometimes got better coaches, but they don't have the practice time to install all the different things, right?
Okay.
Because of just how the nature of having 40 kids on the team versus 150, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of factors there, but it doesn't matter if you have Bowden or North Gwinnett, the 6'6 receiver is a problem.
It usually is. One more update here before we go to our break. We got Garrett Chapman.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the High School Scoreboard Show. Garrett Chapman live at Carrollton High School, where the home team Trojans are on top. 21-3 is your score at the break. I've got the Gainesville band out on the field. I've got Cam Newton and Lincoln Riley here just to my left, catching up and talking some football. All the stars are out here for this one, and the stars are on the field too, and that is Juju Lewis. He had just a gorgeous pass down the right sideline to set up this score that we have right here. Just a perfect pass. It's really hard to describe it as anything other than that. But don't let this scoreline deceive you. This game on the field is a little bit closer than the score would indicate. It's a kick return for a touchdown for Carrollton. It's a fumble recovery in plus territory on about the 25-ish yard line that Carrollton was able to pick up, and Juju Lewis was able to lead the guys into the end zone. That's the difference in this game. They're two defenses that when they're set up between the 20s, it's a complete and total stalemate. But at the end of the day, it's a Carrollton team that is taking advantage of its opportunities. When you have two heavyweight teams that face off with each other, it's who wins the turnover battle and who takes advantage of their opportunities. So far, it's the home team, Carrollton Trojans. And I don't think that this game is anywhere close to being over, but Gainesville has their work cut out for them. We'll see what they can do. They get the ball to start here in the second half. Should be a lot of fun here in the second half. Garrett Chapman here at Carrollton High School. 21-3 is your score at the break. Carrollton on top. Sam and Chris, got a fun one back to you.
All right, that is Garrett, and he's seeing a great ball game. Here we get Cam Newton hanging out on the sideline out there. You don't know who Garrett's going to walk.
That's
up.
Another person that's been on our show, in case anybody's wondering. We've already had Cam
absolutely.
On. So
Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, we had two. One night we had two Heisman Trophy winners on the same night. We had George Rogers, who's our school days guest that night, and he played at Duluth High School. And Then we had Cameron Newton as well the same night. And then we had Lincoln Riley, who's with. So, I mean, yeah, we already had all them. Who else was there? Come on, Garrett, get us somebody else.
We got more scores coming up, games that are some interesting scores, too. We got Kale down the road. They're playing.
They're coming back.
At Lowndes. Yeah. Lowndes is up 21-13 that game. We're keeping up with that one as well. You stay with us. More scores, more highlights. And our reporters will check back in with us as well as we get to
it. Yes, coming down to the wire.
Yep.
Some good scores to get back.
On this Friday night on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
This is the Games High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, Chris Parker in our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. Glad you're with us for the Scoreboard Show as we watch games and seeing some scores change. And my goodness, we're going way down South Georgia and Lee County now up 41-21 on Colquitt County. My goodness. And we talked about what a big game this was going to be in South Georgia. And we always feel like Lee County, regardless of classification, is pound for pound one of your better programs in the state.
Absolutely.
Year in and year out, right?
Absolutely. Dean Fabrizio, one of the best coaches, another guy that came from Florida,
yep.
One of the best coaches in the state, gets a lot of his kids, always got a talented group. You see, what you want, Sam, is great coach, gets a lot out of the kids, kind of like a Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, right, but also with some good players. Because I noticed Coach Saban, Coach Smart, they didn't try to apply to any place that didn't have good players. So they're good coaches. They also have good players.
Right.
And Lee County has that combination, and they're going to always be pretty good. And so, yeah, they maybe dipped a little bit last year from that competing with that top level. But now, yeah, I think they're saying they're for real. How about this one? I told you somebody wanted to tell you the Sequoia score. Sequoia's playing Sprayberry in a region game. Sprayberry took a loss last week, surprising, like upset. But Sprayberry was somebody we were supposed to be looking out for, right?
Right.
They were leading Sequoia the whole game, 17-10. Sequoia scores two quick touchdowns, now leading 24-17 in the fourth quarter. So my man that was hunting the Sequoia score
right.
is 24-17. Sequoia's leading fourth quarter. Skip Pope Stadium, wherever they are. Let's go. Like,
wow. They're doing
see if they can finish it off.
Got a final score. Oconee County has beaten Stevens County 35-10. That is a final.
That surprise you?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Not that they won. I'm not totally surprised that Oconee County won the game. I'm surprised that they won in the manner in which they won. It was 14-0 immediately, and it just seemed to stay controlled by Oconee, and Oconee really needed this win. This is a big win for Coach Hall and his staff, so congratulations to them. Great, great win. Speaking of another one, final, I'll try to give some finals here when I have them. Peachtree Ridge has won over Meadow Creek 71-0.
Whoa. Oh,
yo.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yo.
Oh, really? Really?
In another one of epic proportion, Langston Hughes, 53, Banneker 6, final.
Whoa. Yikes. And those folks are right down the street from each other down in the south
side of town. Be some trash talking.
Yeah, it will be. There will be some. We were watching the McEachern and Campbell game, and McEachern showed up tonight. It's a third quarter score, and this game may have progressed a little bit further along, but McEachern's up 32-0 on Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell's got a good team now. But they might not be McEachern ready yet.
Yeah.
But they are winning some of the games they can win, and that's how you build that program. So I don't take back anything I said about Campbell from that. I think that's actually showing it's not 56-0 or whatever, right? They're going to have to hang in there with them. If I keep going down here and looking, you'll see North Gwinnett's beating Brookwood 29-10 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Fourth quarter scoring Gwinnett, Norcross 35, Duluth 7. Down in South Georgia, Glenn Academy, my man Rocky Hidalgo is up 21-14 over Statesboro in the fourth quarter. Trying to give as many finals in fourth quarter. We got here. Perry defeats Veterans tonight, 38-0 final. Perry with the win. Westover stays undefeated. Westover,
okay.
That's when the Sam Crenshaw list.
You watch that.
Yeah, 44-7. Westover 44. Griffin 7. Griffin. Westover probably haven't beaten Griffin that many times. I don't have that stat in front of me, but I'm going to guess.
Probably not. I would say not. We got Glenn Academy over Statesboro. That's 21-14. That is a fourth quarter score. West Forsyth and Lambert are playing tonight. Lambert's up 13-0. That also is in the fourth quarter. Parkview leads Berkmar 18-9. Parkview still looking for their first win of the season. That is a fourth.
They lead Berkmar 18-9?
18-9. That is a fourth quarter score. Denmark is leading Alpharetta 26-0. We probably will have an update from that from Derek Richburg probably tonight after that game is done. Another fourth quarter score. Walton 36, Wheeler 21. That's a fourth quarter score.
East Cobb Bowl.
Yep, it is. It
is. East Cobb Bowl.
Those schools are not far away from each other at all. Fourth quarter score, Harrison is up on Pebblebrook 31-19. Also in the fourth quarter, Hillgrove looking to go to 4-0. They're up on Osborne. That's their old coach. 30-3. Hillgrove is leading in that game.
Yeah, we've got some good ones tonight. Creekview's a winner tonight, 45-7 over Riverwood. Congratulations to the Grizzlies on that one. And late in the fourth quarter, Houston County 21, Tiff County 6. Fourth quarter, River Ridge 45, Pope 3. Think about this one now. So Pope had a big win last week.
Right.
They beat Sprayberry, upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you got to grow as your program, you got to learn how to win when you lost a game you shouldn't have lost, or how to win when you won a game you shouldn't have won, or how do you just keep winning no matter what the last game was? And you know, you see in tonight, Pope kind of struggling with that. In a game we were following closely, Milton 28, Blessed Trinity 14 in the fourth quarter, but I guess sneaky close. Sometimes Blessed Trinity team, you know, Blessed Trinity smaller school.
Yeah.
We'll give them all they want.
They got them at their place. It's the time to do it. Final score. This one, LaGrange over Fayette County. LaGrange 42-3 winners in that one. Got a fourth quarter score. Cairo is up on Cook 14-3. The Syrup Makers. They're leading in that one. Also down in Middle Georgia, you got Mary Persons against Troop. Troop is up 17-10. That is a fourth quarter score. Another fourth quarter score, Cass and Hiram. Hiram is winning 28-21 in the fourth quarter.
That's a two-touchdown swing because I saw that score just a few minutes ago, and it was 21-14. Cass was winning. In the last, 20 or 30 minutes,
yep,
that's changed.
Staying in that part of the state, Cartersville is up on Dalton 36-7. That is a fourth quarter score.
I do have some breaking news.
Breaking news?
This is probably not breaking by the minute.
Wow.
We had the 39-39 tie, North Cobb Christian and Ringgold. They started that game at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon trying to get done early. They played to 8 or 9 o'clock, and they went to 6 overtimes.
6 overtimes.
And it was 39-39 last time I told you. So I know people have been anxiously like
waiting
on the edge of the seat in the car.
Why won't he say anything about that game?
I mean, I know they're probably – I hope everybody's been safe.
We're waiting.
But,
we're waiting.
North Cobb Christian converted that 2-point conversion. You remember I said you got to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
41-39, North Cobb Christian wins in 6 overtimes. And I know our friend Todd Holcomb is probably going to say this in this week, so I don't know what the actual thing is, but I'm curious if that's the longest game we've ever had.
Yeah.
But it may be. Maybe. Like, I cannot remember anybody playing six overtimes.
I cannot.
I can't guarantee that's the longest, but I'm going to say it's in the mix.
We will see. We will see what happens. That one. That's a long time to play. That really is. So we check some scores. Downstate, let's see, we got Midtown. We got Drew, 19-0 winners over Midtown. Drew is now 4-0. This is Drew.
Yeah, Drew's having a nice season. They are so far having a nice season. White County, 24, Pickens 7, final. White County with the win. Told you, remember a long time ago, I told you White County was going, they got a good football team this year.
They got a good team this year.
Yeah.
That one.
Thomas County Central takes it to Bainbridge tonight, 63-7.
Man.
Thomas County Central has just been a machine.
They're another one of those pound for pound, teams. We know what they did last season, and they're
back. Didn't barely play a close game last year. Yeah, 15-0, and this year they're starting out about the same way. Justin Rogers, the coach down there, he just really got them rolling down there. So Bainbridge, a great program. That's what makes that an impressive result.
Absolutely. I got fourth quarter score. Wow, Mount Zion, Jonesboro 20, Stevenson 14. Dom, hey, whoa.
Say, hold on. Hmm. All right.
Dub is, he didn't fall out of his seat over there, did
yeah.
he?
Let's go to the other one.
I've been keeping my eye on it. Don't
in the
worry.
Fourth quarter, Mount Zion Carroll 27, Bakenton 0. We'll go off to another topic.
Wow.
Hillgrove's beating Harrison 30-3.
Okay.
Hillgrove undefeated on the year. Nice story there. Like I said, I talked about them last week, and they're kind of on the way back up.
Okay.
After a few struggles the last few years, and we just game that just went final, Burt County, the coach Franklin Stevens of the mm-hmm. Fighting Franklin Stevenses,
yep,
14-6 winners over Northside Warner Robins. That's a good win.
That is a really
for
good
Burt
win.
County. Congratulations, Coach Stevens' team.
Yep. All right, we got an update from Westminster. I think this game has gone final with Westminster and Gilmer. Palmer Ruth is ready to join us again. Palmer, how did things turn out with your game tonight?
Hi. Yeah, Westminster ended up getting the win 35-15, but they're really only able to tack on seven in the second half thanks to a kickoff return by Mason Tice, but their defense was able to force a turnover as well to help seal the win.
Awesome. What do you think was the key to the game, Parker? Or Palmer, I'm sorry.
I really think being able to stop that triple option. Y'all have been talking about it. Romberg knows it so well. They're able to stop it, and the offense started off hot, and it's so hard to come back when you're already down a lot, yeah, with running a triple option offense.
That's actually a very astute point, Sam.
Yeah.
So what are you going to study at Clemson here?
I don't know where I'll end up, but I'll probably end up studying business.
Business, okay. Just make sure it's not journalism because you're going to take my spot.
Yeah,
I think he's doing better than
we'll
me.
He's already doing that. He's doing a great job. Who do you guys have up next?
We head down to Savannah to take on Benedictine, so it'll be a Ooh. Big matchup.
That will be a good one.
That's going to be a great ball
game. This is one of the better Westminster teams they've had in the last several years.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, congrats on the win tonight. Thanks so much for checking in with us. We've enjoyed having you.
Yeah, awesome.
Of course. Thank you so much. See you all next week.
Yep. All right. That is Palmer Ruth from over at Westminster. I'll give us an update on them when they get
the
win.
He really is. The guy's good.
Yep.
He knew that he's right. You get ahead by two touchdowns on a triple option team, and then that's how you beat them. Like, that was actually a fantastic answer. Like, you know, I mean, sometimes these guys just give us answers or just think, you know, that was actually the right answer.
No, I mean, they do a great job.
It's almost like they got some smart kids out there at Westminster.
You think they may have one or two? They have a great program, this, though, and their program that produces a broadcast of their games.
Yeah, they actually did a broadcast of the game, so mm-hmm. the guy did his homework, right?
They've been doing a broadcast of their games for a number of years, and it's something very, very good that we see there. Bad stuff up at South Gwinnett right now.
Yeah, we got a little – getting a little chippy, Sam.
Yeah, we are.
And this South Gwinnett Valdosta game is getting a little chippy.
Yeah,
27-14, Valdosta leading in the third quarter, but it's getting a little chippy.
We'll see what happens with this when they get things sorted out. Coming up, we got updates from our reporters coming up top of the hour. And if you missed it earlier, Jeff Saturday came in and talked about school days. We enjoyed the conversation. We think you'll enjoy it as well. On this Friday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.